Does personality predict success when it comes to business? How can you actually use your personality to your benefit in business? We talk about this plus more. I'm Mike Logan. This is The Common Sense Show.
You're listening to The Common Sense Show. If you've just started a new business, or if you're just thinking about it, this podcast is for you. Micah Logan has a stellar track record coaching small businesses to achieve six-figure revenue streams. The advice on this show is what has allowed him to have over 15 years of experience as an entrepreneur. Here is your host, Micah Logan.
Welcome to the Common Sense Show. And today we have a good one for you. We're going to talk about personality and how personality affects you in a business, running the business, whether you should get into business, which business you should get into, how personality actually affects how you manage a business, and can you tell by your personality whether or not you're going to be successful? These are all topics of interesting conversation and things that people don't actually think about when they're about to get into business. Most people think that when it comes to running a business, all you need is a business plan and a marketing budget. And perhaps even you might need individuals to mentor you. All that stuff is true. But could your personality hold you back from actually being successful? So we're going to talk a little bit about that and we're going to get started. So let's address the first piece. Let's start with the basics, the fundamentals. It's always important when you're considering business to lay out there what the fundamentals of actually building a successful business are. If you're an entrepreneur and you are trying to create a business, one thing that you should know is that oftentimes entrepreneurs' personality traits are very much like artists, because just like artists create, entrepreneurs also create as well. There is a personality trait associated with entrepreneurism, just like there is associated with being an artist. And that is open-minded, being open-minded. So typically there's trait openness, which is, when we say trait openness, we're talking about being open-minded, which is one of the ways that artists are able to express themselves, because typically open-minded people tend to be more creative, curious, complex. They tend to see the world in a different lens. They tend to be able to pull together organic elements to form something that is a masterpiece. And you see this in how artists paint pictures. They can take all the primary colors and then make these beautiful landscapes. And I don't have to explain to you how artists create beautiful art in terms of what the tools they use, but they take basic elements, and because in their mind they have the ability to create and envision what they want and how things work together and how they mesh together, they can paint this beautiful picture. But it starts with the personality. You have to be open-minded, willing to undertake new experiences. And what does that mean for you? And what does that mean for your company? You know, when you're, you know, the funny thing is, as an entrepreneur, I think about when I started my business, I went into a domain that was well-known, franchising business. I'm franchising a fitness in the fitness industry. And the fitness industry is really well-known. But how I deliver my business and that experience is not as well-known as the fitness industry. See, I had to create the experience that my customers are actually enjoying. And in order to do that, over the years, I've had to take what I saw or perceived were my experiences. I had to create new ways of doing things, and I had to put them in a package that was original to deliver to people exactly what I thought the public actually needed to fill that hole. That takes being open-minded. And it doesn't mean that the opposite of being open-minded is closed-minded, and that's a negative trait. It simply means that typically people who are lower scorers on a personality test when it comes to openness, they just tend to be more down to earth, more narrow-interested, uncreative. So don't think of it as a pejorative, but think of it in the sense that those individuals who are not as creative tend to maybe focus more on the present, not talk or create in their minds like abstract pictures or illustrations and how the world works. And it's funny because often when I'm doing like a public lecture, I use very abstract illustrations to drive home points. And I've been told by individuals who are less creative that, you know, at first I didn't see how the pieces fit together, but when you finish speaking, I could see it all kind of come together. And that is basically the mind of an artist or an entrepreneur. We see how the puzzle pieces that are floating out in the universe, we see them and we already in our mind can envision them coming together way before other people do as well. Now, there is another trait in business called conscientiousness. And conscientiousness typically tells us whether or not a person's going to be well-organized, whether they're going to have self-discipline, and whether they're going to be careful. And so oftentimes, individuals with their personality trait of conscientiousness tend to be well-disciplined, careful, and well-organized. And I tend to, so when I took my personality test, I scored high on trait openness, and I scored high on conscientiousness, which means that I tend to not only be able to create things, but then after I create them, I can order them in a way that actually makes sense. And I'm not exactly sure if it's common for those two traits to go together, maybe for some people, not for others, but that those two personality traits have allowed me to be able to actually not just map out what I believe the ecosystem of a business could be, but also to put in place the structure and the construct of the steps to actually get there and to be able to then work on implementing that as well. Typically, managers, people who are managerial, tend to be high in trait conscientiousness. And so it doesn't mean, though, that just because you are higher in conscientiousness and low in openness, that you can't be a business owner. Now, I want to make a very important distinction between entrepreneurs and business owners. Business owners indeed have got to be conscientious. And so what I am looking for instance, in a franchisee who's going to franchise one of my fitness micro gyms is conscientiousness. I'm looking for someone who is well-organized, has the ability to be self-disciplined, careful, and to follow the play that I've spent many years putting together in a way that can make a business a success. So that trait of conscientiousness is actually a trait that is very necessary for business owners to either eventually develop or to come in at a high level with. And if you're a manager, and this is why oftentimes what you'll see in franchising is that individuals who worked at a corporate office as a corporate manager for years can make a successful transition to becoming a franchisee because they know how to follow the rules. They're willing to follow the rules. They organize themselves to follow the rules. And on top of that, they're self-disciplined. So when it comes to trying to build their business, they're going to not only follow the rules, but they're going to be disciplined with how they spend in their business. They're going to be disciplined with how they manage their money. They're going to be disciplined with how they treat their employees. And those traits are fundamentally important when we're talking about being a business owner. And not necessarily being the one who creates the system, but you could be the one who runs a business and your business can still be successful. And I can tell you for a fact that as a franchisor, and when we're looking at franchisee candidates, personality profiles are a massive piece of what we're going to look at. It's not everything, but it's a big piece of what we look at. We want to make sure that the person who is coming in is going to actually be conscientious with how they run the business, but they also have to have personality traits that endear themselves to other people. Now, I've kind of just jumped right in and talked about personality tests that I've taken where I've gotten the results. One of the things that social scientists or psychologists, excuse me, have known for many years is they have personality pretty much pegged and they understand personality fundamentally. And so one of the tests that I took in order to understand what my personality profile was called the Big Five. And so there's a lot of personality profiles out there. You know, I'm not talking about the one in the back of 17 magazine, which It's just like, you know, are you a bagel person with poppy seeds, or are you a person who likes cream cheese? No, the Big Five personality test is actually one of the fundamentally and widely accepted personality tests out there that have some of the highest credence. And so the reason why I took the Big Five personality test was because of its background. So it was developed in the 1970s by two independent research groups. One team, which was led by Paul Costa and Robert McRae, they worked for the NIH, or the National Institute of Health. And then the other team was headed by Warren Norman from the University of Michigan and Lewis Goldberg from the University of Oregon. And what they did is they asked thousands of people hundreds of questions to figure out what the answers to kind of come to a consensus about what the actual personalities were. And then they used what's called factor analysis in order to figure out how to score these personalities for the Big Five personality types or traits within a single personality. And so basically, factor analysis is a statistical method of analytics used to describe the variability of an individual who's taking the test. So all that being said is that these psychologists use a statistical method after speaking to thousands of people, asking hundreds of questions over quite a few years, and then they were able to nail down the average five traits of a personality, and then they put that into the test. So once you take the test, they ask you the same questions, and then it tells you which trait is associated with your personality. It doesn't tell you why that, it tells you what that trait means. And then you have to kind of just put the pieces together yourself to understand the rest of it. But in business, it's important to understand that personality does matter. And why is it important for you to know that personality matters? Well, because your personality informs what kind of business you start, whether or not you should start a business, and how far you're going to go with the business. If you have a personality type that is open-minded and low in conscientiousness, do you think that you're going to be able to actually sit, go through an operations manual of a franchise, and be able to deploy it in a way that makes sense? Probably not. You're probably more interested in experiences and not being held together in a little box. And your goal would be to try to continue to create things. And that's a wonderful thing, because the world needs people who can create. However, in business, you need people who can not only understand and create, but also people who can stick in there and make it work. And so you have to make sure that your personality fits. There's a personality assessment that we use in our franchise to take a look at candidates. And one of the things it reviews is a values hierarchy. And a values hierarchy basically tells you what are the most important values that you have and why are they important in general. And so that's important because in business, certain businesses have different values that are the most important thing. As an example, if you are in childcare and you own a childcare business, for you, one of the most important values is probably not growth. Having like a growth mindset when it comes to scaling and growing. You're probably more concerned with the hierarchy of control. You probably, if your value is control, making sure you can control things, and consistency, then those values are higher. That's probably going to serve you better in things like childcare than it would in maybe a business where you have the ability, like a tech business, where you can take that business and then scale it rapidly to another level. I think there's some conversation out there in the business ether that says that every business has to make $1 million and every business has to have a certain level of profitability. Now, the point of a business is to serve your life. So the reality is, at the end of the day, that whatever your revenue is, and if it works for you, that's fine. So given that that's the case and that revenue is supposed to fit your life, you have to analyze your values. Is the business that you want to start, or the business that you want to buy into, or the business that you want to control and run and manage for years, do those does that business line up with your personal core values and your values hierarchy? Another thing that you want to look at in terms of your personality and in terms of your values that we talked about is what kind of culture fits best for you. Are you going to fit into a competitive culture where the competition is market driven and there is no stability because there's this competitive nature, and if you don't eat, you don't get fed? If you're going into or opening a business where it's very much a competitive, aggressive, dominated market where you have to constantly be on the front lines of sales to make it work, and you have a laid-back personality, it's probably not going to work. If you are high in agreeableness and you're going into you're starting a business where contract negotiation is the primary feature of your business because you're negotiating contracts and you're high in agreeableness, you may want to think about whether or not that business is right for you, because typically people high in agreeableness do terrible when it comes to contract negotiation. And if they don't do terrible, they don't do as well as people who are low in agreeableness, because typically those people continue to push until they have a different result or a result that's close to what they want. Now, another question I have for you is, how in the world can you change your personality? Well, I'm going to answer that, but first, we have a message from our sponsor.
Are you looking for opportunities in the white hot boutique fitness market? Introducing Meld Fitness and Wellness. Meld Fitness and Wellness is a first of its kind micro personal training studio concept that builds focused, healthy communities. These micro studios have multiple revenue sources, including recurring monthly memberships and smoothie bar options, all inside your choice of either 500 or 1,000 square feet. With owner-managed or owner-operated franchise models available, we have uncomplicated running a fitness business. You'll receive 360-degree support like business coaching, operational coaching, Meld University, support from our real estate group, and unparalleled supplier support. Learn more today at meldfranchise.com or call 1-888-343-7238. That's 1-888-343-7238. Meld Fitness and Wellness.
So the question was, how in the world can you change your personality? And the answer to that is you can't. There is nothing that you can do to change your personality. Your personality is your personality, but you can bring your personality into balance. You can work on aspects of your personality that may be a little weaker, and you can help yourself out by conscientiously working on things that have held you back. So let's go back to the trait that we just talked about, agreeableness. Now, as I mentioned earlier, people high in agreeableness tend not to negotiate as well for services or products or things that they buy than people who are lower in agreeableness. That means that people who are higher in agreeableness typically take longer to ask for raises, don't ask for raises at work nearly at a frequency as people who are lower in agreeableness, and they tend to earn less than other people and pay more for products and services. Now, if you're lower in agreeableness, you don't have that problem. Now, if you're higher in agreeableness, how in the world can you get yourself to a state or a place where you can actually change the game for yourself? Well, the first thing is taking the test. Go to www.outofservice.com and then check for the Big Five test, or just Google the Big Five test and you'll see it there. And then take the test and know where you are on the spectrum. The second thing you have to do is engage in repetitive acts of conscious choice making that helps to move your personality or helps to move your choices in the direction of which the result you're trying to change. So you may have to work on negotiating tactics in order to improve your lack of, to kind of offset the fact that you're slightly higher in agreeableness and you tend to just take things as they come. So you're going to have to maybe find a mentor who can help negotiate things with you on that level, or maybe go see a therapist who can help you with the fact that you may be more agreeable than others. Maybe it's a self-worth issue that you may have to work with, any of one of those things. But in business, it's important for us to know where we stand personally so that we can figure out what we're good at and what business is right for us. There's no point in wasting time or money on a business concept and you're not the right person. Like, imagine if you bought or started a business and you were perhaps an introvert and shy, and your business was, a large part of your business had to do with networking and being out in front of people to try to get them to engage with your product or service on a level that maybe would be easier for someone who was more extroverted. That's something that you should probably know and admit to yourself. You know, if client facing is not something you're good at, you can, so you do have two options. So I kind of have, I framed this conversation a little bit where you work on it yourself, but the other option too is you could start a company and partner with someone who has the traits that we're talking about here that you don't have that can help your business become successful. So at the end of the day, you have to find the right solution for you personally. When there's a personality match to the business, when it works for your personality, then all bets are off. You're going to be as successful as you want to be because that business is going to work for you and you're going to get more enjoyment out of it. If something is going against who you naturally are as a person and like how you personally fit into it, there's no way that you're going to be as excited about going through the process and grind, especially when times get tough and work gets hard and you need to dig deep. You're less likely to dig deep for something that you're connected to than you are if there's something on the other side. As an example, in my business, in our franchise concept, it's important that a person has the ability to interrelate to another person. People are coming to you in the fitness industry with different goals, different outlooks, and different reasons why they have to make the change that they do. So you have to be a great listener. You have to be adaptable. You have to love people and you have to engage them and want to engage them. And that takes a tremendous amount of mental and physical energy to do that. So you have to be an energetic person. People have to see you as in position as an expert in order for you to actually garner their respect, and you have to be consistent. So there's a lot of different nuances in every business that you should analyze for yourself to see if this actually works for you. And once you go through and take your personality test to see how you line up, then you'll be able to create a roadmap for yourself. And then you can dismiss whatever businesses actually don't work for you or whatever businesses don't match your personality and focus on the select few that do. So just because you enjoy something on a hobby level doesn't mean it should be a business for you, because it may feed part of your ego on a small level, but it may not be an exact fit for you on a macro level to bring to other people as a business. And for instance, you know, maybe you like shooting archery, but you know, running an archery business is a lot different than putting an arrow in the bullseye. In fact, it's probably easier to put the arrow in the bullseye than it is to run an archery business. You understand what I'm saying? The point is that you want to make sure that you can fit the business that you're going to be in. So is there a personality, one personality that we get locked into that that is going to predict success? Well, the answer is no. And the reason, the problem is that there's too much television and movies out there that only show entrepreneurs and successful people in one light. They only show one kind of person who becomes an entrepreneur and then like is successful. Got to be careful with that. Take it as it comes. Analyze your own personality. Think about it seriously And then think about the kind of business that will work for you. And maybe you're not an entrepreneur. So at the beginning, you should decide if your personality works to create a whole new business, or if your personality is more fit to grow a business after it's already been created. Remember that when you create a business, you have to create systems and processes and structure and order. You have to build the foundation of the business. You have to build who's going to do it, when and how much are they going to make, how long before you get there, who manages them, what are the manager's goals, what is the manager's job description, how does that relate to the function of the business, how are you marketing that service or product, how are you marketing that service and product to the right people that you have to market that service or product to, how do you stay top of mind with those people, how do you maintain this whole ecosystem of the business. Those skill sets are not skill sets that correspond to everyone. And there's a difference between building a hobby business and building a business. Building a business that can last and that you can resell is something that is going to ultimately be on you to decide if that's what you want to do. It takes an immense amount of inertia to create a business that can serve other people and that people want to buy from you and that people want to buy and that you can sell and that people want to buy. So take that to heart, find the right solution for you, and you'll be successful. But go to the Google the Big Five personality test, take it, and you know what? Email me your results. I would love to see your results from it if you can. Email your results to info@thecommonsensepodcast.com. And I would love to take a look at your personality results and to see kind of how the audience that listens to this podcast actually lines up. Thank you for listening today, and I'll talk to you soon. Remember, use your common sense in your business, and your business will grow.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Common Sense Show, hosted by Michael Logan. The producer for The Common Sense Show is Paul Logan. To reach out to Micah and The Common Sense Show, talk to us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search The Common Sense Show. And if you enjoy the show, please don't forget to rate and or review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thank you for listening.